Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman, member of Aram Goldar, and today Maseches Bam Metzia, Daf Tezayin, the first parak, Shnai Mochzin. This parak has been dedicated to the memory of Mr. Moshe Horn, Rav Moshe Manes ben Yaakov Yitzchak, by his children, Dvorah and Dov Elias. May his neshama have an aliyah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Rav had ruled that if a Gazlan bought property after selling it, so to speak, to someone, we assume he bought it for the buyer and cannot retain it. Rami Bar Chama asked, how did the buyer acquire this land since the original bill of sale was ineffective? Rami answers to Heba Ma'aminu, let this ruling beware, the buyer tells the robber he trusts him to obtain the land. In exchange for the benefit the Gazlan receives that the buyer did not confront him for the fraudulent sale, but trusts him to work to obtain the land for him, the Gazlan commits to transfer its ownership to him. The Rami explains that this hana is tantamount to receiving money. Rav Sheshes challenges from a brisa that if one says, Mashi Irash Ma'aba Machulach, that which I inherit from my father is sold to you, or that which my net catches is sold to you, the sale is ineffective. Rav rejected the question, Hacha Sam Chadaita, here the buyer is confident the Gazlan will obtain the land for him, so he should not be called a Gazlan. In the brisa's case, he's not confident there'll be an inheritance. Point number two, Rav said that if one says, Sadat Sha'ni Lokeach, the field which I'm going to purchase is transferred to you when I purchase it ma'akshav, retroactively, the recipient acquires it when the giver purchases it. Rav says this is logical besadat stam, with an unspecified field, because the recipient is confident he'll find a field to purchase, but besadat zu, with this specific field, it would not logically apply, because the recipient lacks confidence the giver will obtain it. Mi'yemid b'zamenu inale, who says its owner will sell it to him? However, Rav swore that Rav applied his ruling even regarding a specific field. He proves this because Rav's ruling is based on Rabbi Meir's opinion that Adam Makne Davish Lobo La'olam, a person can transfer something which has not yet come into the world, and holds, if someone is Mekadosh a woman to take effect after her husband dies, or a slave woman after she's freed, the Kedushin is effective, although these events are outside her control and thus similar to a specific field. And point number three, Shmuel said, HaMosi Shtar HaKana B'Shuk, if one finds a document of acquisition in the street, meaning a shtar which creates a debt, even if a loan is never issued, Yachzir L'Balim, he should return it to its owner. There's no concern the loan was not issued, since he obligated himself regardless. Although he may have paid the debt, Shmuel holds, L'Chayshin L'Pirion, we are not concerned about possible payment, because if he had paid Mikra HaVikarle, he would have torn the shtar and it would not have been found intact. A Mishnah saying that a shtar recording an act of Beis Din is returned may not support Shmuel because it may refer to documents certifying a creditor's right to collect, which cannot be paid. Rava objected that these two can be paid because seized property is returned if the debt is subsequently paid. Instead, he explains that if the debt are paid, Ihu da'absida nafshe, he brought the loss upon himself by not ripping the collection certificate or at least demanding a document certifying the land was returned to him, which is tantamount to a resale. In Shmuel's case, the creditor may have withheld the shtar despite its being paid. Rav Yochanan holds a certified shtar of debt is not returned to the creditor because we're concerned that it was paid. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, Rav had ruled that if a Gazlan bought property after selling it, so to speak, to someone, we assume he bought it for the buyer and cannot retain it. Rami Bar Chama asks, how did the buyer acquire this land since the original bill of sale was ineffective? Rami answers to Heba Ma'aminu, let this ruling beware, the buyer tells the robber he trusts him to obtain the land. In exchange for the benefit the Gazlan receives that the buyer did not confront him for the fraudulent sale, but trusts him to work to obtain the land for him, the Gazlan commits to transfer its ownership to him. The Rami explains that this hana is tantamount to receiving money. Rav Sheshes challenges from a brisa that if one says, Mashi Irash Ma'aba Machulach, that which I inherit from my father is sold to you, or that which my net catches is sold to you, the sale is ineffective. Rav rejected the question, Hacha Sam Chadaita, here the buyer is confident the Gazlan will obtain the land for him, so he should not be called a Gazlan. In the brisa's case, he's not confident there'll be an inheritance. Point number two, Rav said that if one says, Sadat Sha'ni Lokeach, the field which I'm going to purchase is transferred to you when I purchase it ma'akshav, retroactively, the recipient acquires it when the giver purchases it. Rav says this is logical besadat stam, with an unspecified field, because the recipient is confident he'll find a field to purchase, but besadat zu, with this specific field, it would not logically apply, because the recipient lacks confidence the giver will obtain it. Mi'yemid b'zamenu inale, who says its owner will sell it to him? However, Rav swore that Rav applied his ruling even regarding a specific field. He proves this because Rav's ruling is based on Rabbi Meir's opinion that Adam Makne Davish Lobo La'olam, a person can transfer something which has not yet come into the world, and holds, if someone is Mekadosh a woman to take effect after her husband dies, or a slave woman after she's freed, the Kedushin is effective, although these events are outside her control and thus similar to a specific field. And pointing with you, Shmuel said, HaMosi Shtar HaKanah B'Shuk. If one finds a document of acquisition in the street, meaning a shtar which creates a debt, even if a loan is never issued, Yachziru L'Balim, he should return it to its owner. There's no concern the loan was not issued, since he obligated himself regardless. Although he may have paid the debt, Shmuel holds, L'Chayshin L'Pirion, we are not concerned about possible payment, because if he had paid Mikra HaVikarle, he would have torn the shtar and it would not have been found intact. A Mishnah is saying that a shtar recording an act of Beis Din is returned may not support Shmuel because it may refer to documents certifying a creditor's right to collect, which cannot be paid. Rava objected that these two can be paid because seized property is returned if the debt is subsequently paid. Instead, he explains that if the debt are paid, Ihu da'absida nafshe, he brought the loss upon himself by not ripping the collection certificate or at least demanding a document certifying the land was returned to him, which is tantamount to a resale. In Shmuel's case, the creditor may have withheld the shtar despite its being paid. Rav Yochanan holds a certified shtar of debt is not returned to the creditor because we're concerned that it was paid. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Tes Zayin, and our standard Siman is toes, and we often use an acrobat with large toes. So here goes. The acrobat with large toes swinging on his trapeze, who told his fraudulent seller that he trusts he'll obtain the land for him which he had purchased, was approached by another acrobat who told him that a specific field he'll buy to put a trapeze on will be transferred to him retroactively. After a shtar hakna'a that was found in the shuk was returned to him as the lender, since if it had been paid, the debtor would have ripped it up. Once again, in slow motion. The acrobat with large toes. Acrobat with large toes? That must be on Daf Tes Zayin. The acrobat with large toes swinging on his trapeze, who told his fraudulent seller that he trusts he'll obtain the land for him which he had purchased, which reminds us, Rav had ruled that if a gazlan bought property after selling it to someone, we assume he bought it for the buyer and cannot retain it. Rami Bar Chama asked, how did the buyer acquire this land since the original bill of sale was ineffective? Rava answered, let this ruling be where the buyer tells the robber he trusts him to obtain the land. In exchange for the hana, the robber receives that the purchaser did not confront him for the fraudulent sale, but trusts him to work to obtain the land for him. The gazlan commits to transfer its ownership to him. The Ran explains that this benefit is tantamount to receiving money. So the acrobat with large toes swinging on his trapeze, who told its fraudulent seller that he trusts he'll obtain the land for him which he had purchased, was approached by another acrobat who told him that a specific field he will buy to put a trapeze on will be transferred to him retroactively. Which reminds us, Rav said that if one says, the field which I'm going to buy is transferred to you when I purchase it, may aksham, retroactively, the recipient requires it when the giver buys it. Rava said this is logical beside the stump with an unspecified field because the recipient is confident he'll find a field to purchase. But beside a zoo with this specific field, it would not logically apply because the recipient lacks confidence the giver will obtain it. Who says the owner will sell it to him? However, Rava swore that Rava applied his ruling even regarding a specific field. So the acrobat with large toes swinging on his trapeze, who told his fraudulent seller that he trusts he'll obtain the land for him, which he had purchased, was approached by another acrobat who told him that a specific field he'll buy to put a trapeze on will be transferred to him retroactively. After a shtar haknah that was found in the shuk was returned to him as the lender, since if it had been paid, the debtor would have ripped it up. Which reminds us, Shmuel said, HaMosi Shtar Haknah B'Shuk, if one finds a document of acquisition in the street, meaning a shtar which creates a debt, even if a loan is never issued, Yachziru L'Balim, he should return it to its owner. There's no concern the loan was not issued, since he obligated himself regardless, although he may have paid the debt. Shmuel holds, L'Chayshin L'Pirion, we're not concerned about possible payment, because if he had paid, he would have torn the shtar, and it would not have been found intact. So once again, the acrobat with large toes swinging on his trapeze, who told his fraudulent seller that he trusts he'll obtain the land for him, which he had purchased, was approached by another acrobat who told him that a specific field he'll buy to put a trapeze on will be transferred to him retroactively. After a shtar haknah that was found in the shuk was returned to him as the lender, since if it had been paid, the debtor would have ripped it up. All right, so now it's time for 4 blah blah chazara. Daf Yud Beis. So the Siman Daf Yud Beis is 12 brothers. So here goes. When the eldest of 12 brothers, that must mean we're on Daf Yud Beis. When the eldest of 12 brothers threw his hefker wall through his neighbor's back door, and it flew out the front door, which reminds us, Rava asked, Zark Arniki B'Pesach Zevi Yatsa B'Pesach Acher, if someone threw a purse in this doorway, and it went out another doorway, does the homeowner acquire it? Avir She'ein Sofu L'Nuach, is something in airspace in which it's not destined to come to rest, or lo, is it considered like it's at rest in that place, or not? So when the eldest of 12 brothers threw his hefker wad through his neighbor's back door, and it flew out the front door, his little brother found it and was going to quickly bring it to his father, which reminds us, the next mission states, Metzias beno ubito katanim, the find of one's minor son or daughter, as well as his eved kanani and wife, belongs to him. The find of his adult children, an eved ivri, and divorced wife, belongs to them. Shmuel explained why katan's find belongs to his father. Shebisha shemotza, because when he finds something, meritza etzel avi ve'enu ma'akr biyado, he quickly brings it to his father and does not let it delay in his hand. The Gemara says this proves that Shmuel holds katan leisle zechila nafshim in deraisa. A minor does not have independent acquisition biblically, only under rabbinical law. Had his ability to acquire been biblical, this reason would not have been sufficient to give the fine to his father. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba defines katan gadol in terms of whether one is supported by their father or not, regardless of age. So when the eldest of 12 brothers threw his hefker wall through his neighbor's back door, and it flew out the front door, his little brother found it and was going to quickly bring it to his father, who just found a shtar sheyesh bo achrayis, but did not return it to the lender, despite the borrower admitting he owed the money, because perhaps it was written in Nisan, but not given until Tishrei, which reminds us, a shtar which is found is not returned when there's a property lien on it, even when the debtor admits its own, because we're concerned the shtar was written in Nisan, the recorded date, and not given until Tishrei, for example, leading Beis Din to unlawfully collect from those who purchased land from him before Tishrei. So once again, when the eldest of 12 brothers threw his hefker wallet through his neighbor's back door, and it flew out the front door, his little brother found it and was going to quickly bring it to his father, who just found a shtar sheyesh bo achrayis but did not return it to the lender despite the borrower admitting he owed the money, because perhaps it was written in Nisan, but not given until Tishrei. Daf Yud Gimel, so the Simmer Daf Yud Gimel is a bar mitzvah boy, so here goes. The bar mitzvah boy, that must be one Daf Yud Gimel. The bar mitzvah boy, who had been excited to sign as an aid for the very first time on a shtar, since witnesses' signatures on a shtar acquire a lien for the lender even before the loan, which reminds us, the Gemara asks why a loan document may be written for a potential borrower before the loan is issued, since they may collect from purchasers' properties from the date in the shtar earlier than the actual loan date. Rav Asi says only shtar hakna, documents of acquisition, may be written beforehand because the lien actually begins immediately even if the loan is never issued. Abaye answers, Eidu b'chasum of Zachinlo. The witnesses with their signatures acquire a lien for the lender at the time of signing, even before the loan. The Gemara clarifies, this principle only applies where the shtar reached the recipient's hand, whereby the transaction takes effect retroactively from signing. If the shtar was never given, its transaction does not take effect. So the bar mitzvah boy, who had been excited to sign as an aid for the very first time on a shtar, since witnesses' signatures on a shtar acquire a lien for the lender even before the loan, overheard a lova and malva collude to collect from a buyer of land even after the debt was paid and split the gain. Which reminds us, a buyer could explain the reason a shtar with a property lien is not returned is the chayshu perion v'kununya, where it merits concern about possible payment and collusion. Perhaps the loan was actually paid up and the debtor received and later lost the shtar. He may be falsely admitting that the debt is unpaid as a conspiracy with a creditor to collect the debt from buyers who purchased without a compensation guarantee against collection, which the conspirators will later divide between themselves. So the bar mitzvah boy, who had been excited to sign as an aid for the very first time on a shtar, since witnesses' signatures on a shtar require a lien from the lender even before the loan, overheard a lova and malva collude to collect from a buyer of land even after the debt was paid and split the gain. Just as two rabbis walked by who both held Ein Choshesh L'Perion L'Kanunya, which reminds us, the Gemara explains how Shmuel and Rabbi Elazar, who both hold that we're not concerned for Perion L'Kanunya, understand the Melchokas and the Mishnah between Remir and the Chachamim, and how their positions are eventually disproven. So once again, the bar mitzvah boy, who had been excited to sign as an aid for the very first time on a shtar, since witnesses' signatures on a shtar acquire a lien for the lender even before the loan, overheard a lova malva collude to collect from a buyer of land even after the debt was paid and split the gain. Just as two rabbis walked by who both held Ein Choshesh L'Perion V'Kanunya. Daf Yud Dal. So the Siman Daf Yud Dal is a yad, and we often use a juggler in the Siman. So here goes. The expert juggler, that must be on Daf Yud Dal, yad, hand. The expert juggler, who is so good that he distracted a sofer who forgot to write a chrys on a shtar for a loan, which reminds us the brights in the previous stuff taught that the rabbanon hold that even a shtar without a shibud may still be collected from sold properties. Shmuel explains that they hold a chrys is tahu soferhu. A guarantee is assumed to be the scribe's mistake when absent from the shtar and does not indicate that there's actually no property lien. The Gemara explains that Shmuel's statement pertains to loan documents, for a person does not give money for nothing, meaning since he does not benefit from the loan, he would not agree to lend without a guarantee. A payment. So the expert juggler, who was so good that he distracted a sofer who forgot to write a chrys on a shtar for a loan, was trying to cheer up a man who just purchased a field without a chrys, which people said didn't belong to the seller, and was left holding a bag of nuts, which reminds us, Abai said that if Reuven was selling a field to Shimon, without a guarantee of compensation, but Yatsu Aleha Asikin and protests came forth about the land challenging Reuven's ownership, Achil Chizikba, as long as Shimon has not taken possession of it nor paid for it, he can retract from the sale, which did not yet take effect. But once he took possession of it, the sale takes effect and he cannot retract, because Reuven can tell him, Chaisa Dikitri, Savas Vakabas, you were aware of and accepted a bag of nuts, meaning you agreed to purchase it without a guarantee. So the expert jugger, who was so good that he distracted his sofer, who forgot to write a chrais on a star for a loan, was trying to cheer up a man who just purchased a field without a chrais, which people said didn't belong to the seller, and was left holding a bag of nuts. And a buyer trying unsuccessfully to get compensated for the improvements he made in some land which the seller did not own. Which reminds us, the Gemara says, a mocher sado lechavero v'nimse she'eino shalot. One sells a field, and it's discovered that it was not his, and its owner retakes the field. Rav says, yesh lo malus, the purchaser has a right to compensation from the seller for the money paid for the field, v'yesh lo shevach, and he's a right to compensation from him for improvements he made to the field. Shmuel says, malus yesh lo shevach englo. He has a right to compensation for money paid, but he does not have a right for compensation for his improvements. Rav Huna was asked, if the seller explicitly told him he would compensate him for the improvements, what's the halacha? The Gemara concludes that Shmuel's reason is, because there was no actual sale, since the field didn't belong to him, the money paid is a loan, and if the buyer collects more than he gave, mechzik ribis, it appears like receiving interest on the loan. So once again, the expert juggler, who is so good that he distracted a sofer, who forgot to write a chrais and a shtar for a loan, was trying to cheer up a man who just purchased a field without a chrais, which people said didn't belong to the seller, and was left holding a bag of nuts. And a buyer trying unsuccessfully to get compensated for the improvements he made in some land which the seller did not own. Daf Tezvav. So the Simmer Daf Tezvav is a fruit bowl because it relates to Tu B'Shvat. So here goes. The seller's Baal Chov, who was so delighted that he didn't have to pay for the improvements to a field he collected that the buyer made, that he placed fruit bowls all over it. Fruit bowls? That must be on Daf Tezvav. Tu B'Shvat. The seller's Baal Chov, who was so delighted that he didn't have to pay for the improvements to a field he collected that the buyer made, that he placed fruit bowls all over it, which reminds us, Shmuel said, Baal Chov goves ha-shevach. The seller's creditor collects the improvements the buyer made to the land and does not pay for them. Rava demonstrates this from the fact that the seller initially writes that he accepts to compensate the buyer for any loss of the field, his expenditures in the field, and its improvements. Because the buyer will be compensated for the improvements, the creditor can collect them without paying for them. Rava says regarding a gift where there is no guarantee given, the Baal Chov would not get the improvements. So the seller's Baal Chov, who was so delighted they didn't have to pay for the improvements to a field he collected that the buyer made, that he placed fruit bowls all over it, wondered why someone bought the neighbor's property knowing the seller didn't own it, which reminds us, the Gemara says that if the buyer recognized that the property was not the seller's, Rav says, Maoz Yesho Shevach Engel, he has a right to demand the money paid for the property, but does not have a right to compensation for improvements he made in the field. Shmuel says, Afil Maoz Engel, he does not even have the right to demand the money he paid for it. Rav holds the buyer knows the sale is ineffective and he gave the money to be a pikadon by the seller. He didn't say so explicitly because he thought the seller would not agree to guard it. Shmuel holds that because the buyer knows the sale is ineffective, we assume he gave the money as a matana to the seller without saying so explicitly because he thought the seller would not accept it. So the seller's Baal Chov, who was so delighted that he didn't have to pay for the improvements to a field he collected that the buyer made, that he placed fruit bowls all over it, wondered why someone bought the neighbor's property knowing the seller didn't own it, and then why the deceitful seller came and purchased the field from the original owner, which reminds us, Shmuel asked, if the Gazlan, after selling, so to speak, the field, came back and purchased it from its original owner, what is the lachi? Can he take possession of the land from the purchaser, just like the legitimate owner could have done? He replied, what did the Gazlan sell to the buyer? Kol zchus shetavu liyado, any right which will come into his possession. His subsequent purchase of the property was intended to obtain it for the purchaser. Two reasons are given. One, he doesn't want the buyer to call him a robber for selling him stolen land, or he wants to keep his credibility. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which daf did we learn? Achrayus Tavus Soferu. That's on daf Yadar. Good. Number two, which daf did Machlokes about returning found loan documents when the debtor admits? That's on daf Yud Beis. Good. Number three, which daf did we discuss one who bought property knowing the seller didn't own it, and two explanations are given as to why he did it? That's on daf Tezvav. Good. Number four, which of the one that Shmuel holds that Shtar HaKnal can be returned to the lender because if it was the debtor's, he would have ripped it up? That's on Dav Tezayin. Good. Number five, which stuff do you discuss when protests come out against a field being sold and when the buyer can no longer retract? That's on Dav You dog. Number six, wished up to the question of someone threw a purse in one doorway and it went out another doorway. Does the homeowner acquire it? That's on Duff. Yid base. Good number seven, wished up to discuss whether it works if someone says he's going to buy a specific field that will retroactively transfer to someone else. That's on Duff. Tezine. Good number eight, wished up to learn Balchov Govas a Shavach. That's on Duff. Tezvav. Good number nine, which Duff do Malchukas of Kinyan Chatzfer has learned from Yad or Shlichus? That's on Duff. Yud. Good. Number 10. Which stuff they learn that a guzman can acquire the field he fraudulently sold to a buyer for the buyer based on the benefit he gets from the buyer trusting that he'll obtain it. That's on Duff. Tezayin. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichu Bishnia. Great day and great learning.